and welcome to the Gospel Points Podcast, where the gospel is the point. I'm your host, Kevin Thompson. Thanks again for joining us. We have a special program here. It's going to be a little longer than normal, but I think it'll be worth it if you hang in there. But of course, before we get to that, we have the weekly Twitter poll question. And you can follow me on Twitter at Kevin J. Thompson if you want to participate in those. This week's poll question: what is your preferred method of travel for long distances? The options were plane, train, car, or RV. And the winner was plane. I'd rather travel on a plane. I can't say I've ever, as well, first place was plane, second place was car, third was train, then followed in last by an RV. I've never really traveled in an RV, and I don't know, I'm not really comfortable driving big, huge tank-like things, so that wouldn't have been my choice. I do enjoy flying on planes most of the time, but I think I would have chosen car. I'd like to drive. I'm not good at driving, as my wife will be sure to tell you, but I like the control of it. I can stop whenever I want to, listen to whatever I want to on the radio. Of course, if the kids are in there, they're in control, but whatever. I prefer car, but you chose plane, so you are the winner. I'll try again next week. So, again, that's our Twitter poll question. You can follow me at Kevin J. Thompson on Twitter, at Kevin J. Thompson. Also this week, I want to announce another social media place where you can find the Gospel Points Podcast is now on Instagram. Yes, we are on Instagram right now, and you can follow us on Instagram at Gospel Points. So just look up the user ID name is Gospel Points. All right, well, today, as I am recording this, and this will be uploaded on January 20th, 2017, or on the day that Donald Trump will take the reins of our country, and he will take the oath of office and put his hand on a Bible and swear to uphold the Constitution, so help him God. So he'll be our 45th president. Now, I was not invited to the inauguration, and I know others like Paula White, for some reason, and Franklin Graham, but Kevin Thompson wasn't invited. But if I were invited to Donald Trump's inauguration, this message that we're going to listen to today is the message that I would give. Now, this is the message I actually gave at the school I teach. I teach at Rock County Christian School in Beloit, Wisconsin. Yesterday, on Wednesday, we had a chapel message, and this is the chapel message I gave at Rock County Christian School to the high school there, junior high and high school, actually. And so I'm going to make some applications to them, but I think this is beneficial for you, the listener, to hear my comments for Donald Trump and also apply it to the high school students here. But I think no matter what age you are, there are some timeless principles to go through. So here it is, my message for Donald J. Trump.
We're 2 days away from what I hope will be a peaceful transition of power from one president to another. And so I thought it'd be good today to talk about that transition. What is our responsibility toward our next president? And what is his responsibility toward us? So, 1 Timothy, chapter 2 and verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. Reminder to make sure you bring your Bible to chapel. First of all, then I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceable and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good and is pleasing in the sight of God, our Savior. So, we're going to be talking. Some of you are happy now that picture's gone.
Yes.
Now, we do have some responsibilities here. This is the Word of God, right? We read this from the Bible. This is what God expects of us. He said, I want there to be prayers for all people. We should be praying for all types of people. But he especially, in this passage, mentions kings, those in highest authority over us. Now, we don't have a king in our country. and he really needs to remind himself that he's not a king. We don't have a king, we have a president. This passage applies to us. As the highest authority in our country, we first have a command. And the command is God wants us to be praying specifically for kings and those in high authority. In other words, we care about these people. And sometimes Christians, we think, okay, well, all right, I am not made for this world. I am made for a world that is to come. That's true. But while we're here, we're to remember that we are citizens of this world. What we do matters, and what this guy does matters. We're to care for all people. Yes, even the people we don't like. Being president is a very difficult job, because at pretty much every moment of your existence, you can count on at least 50% of the people hating you. Kind of like being a teacher. Except the percentage is a lot higher. You can count on the fact that people are not going to respect you because of their beliefs. And there are some people who are not going to like you no matter what you do. And that's regardless of whatever party you're a part of. It's a difficult job. And God commands us to pray for these people. First, because we are to care, but second, prayer is not meaningless in and of itself. God changes hearts through prayer. God changes action through prayer. Prayer is not meaningless. Prayer isn't just like an expression of hope or an expression of some idealistic, I hope this happens someday. God uses prayer. When he commands us to pray, he's not just saying, wish happy thoughts. But this is action. So first we have a command to pray. And then second, why should we do this? We have a goal, to live a peaceful life. The king is in charge. In the authority that God has invested in him, he has the authority, the ability to make your life pleasant or really bad. There have been people who have been severely hurt by the poor decision of leaders, whether that's a president or a parent, even a teacher. Leaders have the ability to harm, but also the ability to bless. The guy in charge matters. The guy who has that power and that authority and that ability is important. And we ought to respect that position. And that's why it's so crucial that we think about the type of people that we want to give that kind of power to. As Christians, we often complain about how our rights are being eroded away slowly. It seems like little by little this world is rejecting us. And we have a fight now for religious liberty. Someone said, maybe we lost the fight on homosexual marriage or abortion or whatever. But now we want the freedom to actually say these things. And it seems like that freedom is being attacked. We get all the more reason to pray for the people in charge. Not just the president, but those in Congress, those in the Senate, those in the seat of governorship right here in our state. Prayer matters because these guys matter. But why? Why did you do this ultimately? Because God said, this pleases me. When you pray for these people, that is good. And that pleases me. As a Christian, that should be the only thing we need to hear. Oh, that thing that I'm doing. If that pleases you, no matter what it is, I'm going to do that. But let's face it, it's difficult. We don't always like the person in charge. I have very significant disagreement with the person who's in charge right now and for the next couple of days. It is my duty, it is my job as a Christian to pray for that man. I've got some disagreements with the guy who's going to be in charge on Friday. And from your reaction, I know that some of you do as well. Your job, your responsibility, a command straight from God, is to pray for this person. I don't want to pray for this person. Well, wait a minute. This gets at the heart of what it means to be a Christian. We love the unlovable. We have a command to love one another. We have a command to love all people. Jesus commands us to love our enemies. You're to love Barack Obama. You're to love Donald Trump. Now, love doesn't mean we agree with everything they say, and you shouldn't. You should have a brain in your head that you should use and you should evaluate whatever anybody says, especially a politician. But God's command to love one another, love your enemies, is greater than any sort of political ideology or philosophy or party loyalty or whatever. We are commanded to love. Jesus said in John chapter 13, "This is how all men will know that you are my disciples, that you have love." That's what's going to make the Christian community stand out, is the love we have for others. So whatever your opinions are, you guys know I've got a lot of opinions on this. Whatever your opinions are, your command to love and to pray for those in power and authority is not diminished. In fact, it may even be greater. God commands you to love and pray. So as we're looking forward to, well, I don't know if we're looking forward to, but we're looking ahead to Friday. Donald Trump is going to take the oath of office, and he's going to be the next person in charge. And our obligation is to love and pray for that man. That doesn't mean we agree with everything he says. That doesn't mean we even go along with everything that he says. Because the Bible also tells us that it's more important for us to obey God rather than man. So our first commitment is always to God. Love doesn't mean I have to agree. Love doesn't even mean I have to like. There are people I love that I don't really like. They don't really want to spend time with me. But I'm to serve, and I'm to be a servant. That demand doesn't change. So, for the remainder of our time here, I want to give my inaugural address here to Donald Trump. Now, I'm aware of the fact that President-elect Trump may not be listening to this. I don't know. Is he in the building? I'm assuming not. I'm hoping he has better things to do than walk around here. I have been. He's probably not, but I thought, you know, wouldn't it be cool if he just showed up?
No.
Yeah.
How many say yes?
Yes?
How many say no?
No.
All right, well, I tried to think about what could I do to get his attention. I thought, well, maybe, you know, if I wore this in chapel, would it entice him to show up? I don't know. All right, I really can't wear that tomorrow. But I thought, you know what? I do have a special channel to the president. I do have a secret way of communication that not everyone has. I do have a contact with the president-elect. And it took a little sacrifice to get it done today. But I was able to send a message. In the only way I know that he would get, receive, and listen to. Focus on his Twitter account. I just happened to be, for some reason, I couldn't sleep this morning. I was up at 3 a.m. If there's anybody else on the planet I know for sure that's up at 3 a.m. and using Twitter, it's Donald Trump. So I sent a message, so maybe he'll show up at some point. Maybe he'll watch this or listen to this on our podcast later. All right. So no one's going to invite me to an inaugural festival ceremony. I'm not on his radar at all. But I thought, what would I say? If suddenly I got the call, and Mr. Keneally came to my room, Senator Thompson, the president elect on the phone, he really wants you to come and speak at his inauguration. What would I say? Well, I'm gonna show you. I'm gonna tell you what I would say if I had the chance. So turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31. So we're commanded to pray for kings. We said king meaning the person in highest authority. And here at the beginning of Proverbs 31, we typically think of Proverbs 31 as that's where the virtuous woman is found. That's where we see what it is to be a biblical woman in the rest of the chapter. But chapter doesn't start off that way. We start off with some advice to a king from his mother. So King Lemuel is mentioned here in verse 1. So Proverbs 31, verse 1, the words of King Lemuel, an oracle that his mother taught him. So this is King Lemuel telling us, this is what mom told me. Now we don't know much about King Lemuel other than his name was Lemuel and he was a king. Outside of that, we don't really know too much about him. Apparently he would have been a king in the area of northern Saudi Arabia, kind of where we speculate that Job was at one point. We know he's not an Israelite. He's not one of the Jewish kings we see in either the northern or southern kingdom of Israel. But apparently there was some contact with him. So this is a mother giving advice to her son, the king. So, verse 2. This is a great way to start a speech given to Donald Trump. What are you doing, my son? What are you doing, son of my womb? What are you doing, son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women, your ways to those who destroy kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, or for rulers to take strong drink, lest they drink and forget what has been decreed, and pervert the rights of all the afflicted. Give strong drink to the one who is perishing, and wine to those in bitter distress. Let them drink and forget their poverty, remember their misery no more. Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all who are destitute. Open your mouth, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and needy. So there are several things here. If President-elect Trump were sitting here among us, he'd probably get beaten up, but if he were here, this would be the advice I would give him. If I were speaking at this huge inauguration on Friday, this is the words I would say to him. So, number one, the importance of who you are. The importance of who you are. Verse 2, what are you doing? What are you doing? Well, the emphasis here is not on the what are you doing part. It's translated differently in different translations. It's the second part of that. What are you doing, my son? What are you doing, son of my womb? What are you doing, son of my vows? This is a mother who's not just saying, what are you doing, you idiot? Are you doing? No. You say, what are you doing? My son. The child of my own womb. The son of my vows. In other words, she's saying, you're precious to me. You're important. What you do matters. Reflect on what you're doing here. You are important to me. son of my vows. If you remember in the book of 1 Samuel, we were introduced to a woman by the name of Hannah, right? What was Hannah's problem? Do you remember? She was what? Someone said something was weird. She couldn't have children. She was barren. And so every day she came and she prayed on the steps of the temple, and she made a vow that if you were to give me a son, God, I will dedicate him to you. He will be your servant. I will give him back to you. And that's kind of the vow that's being referred to here. Where Lenny was being told, I made a vow that I want God to use you. You're a servant of God. You're not just like anybody else. You're to be God's servant. You matter. As you said before, whoever sits in the office, the Oval Office, in the White House, that person matters. His decisions matter. What he says matters. Even what he tweets matters. It's an important position. It's an important job. So, some application. I want to apply this to the president. I also want to apply all of these to us here. You guys aren't presidents. Maybe someday, Matt will be taking the oath of office. I've never really enjoyed it. Just kidding, Matt. You do know I was for you all the time. So, President Trump, if you're listening, you're an important person. Every word that you say is scrutinized. Every decision that you make is important. You need to take this seriously. Rock County Christian School. All of you need to remember, you are important. Your life matters. Your life is connected to every other life here. You have influence, whether you realize it or not. There are people that are affected by your life. Even if it doesn't seem that way, even if it seems like I'm just a lonely person, I just don't know how, your life matters within this community. You even have leadership opportunities right here, practically every day. What you do and what you say matters. It matters here, it matters at your home, it matters at your church. You matter. Take your life seriously. Don't waste it. There can be people that you are influencing today that you may not even know. Teachers, your job matters. I know. I deal with these same kids all the time. It really gets frustrating. But what you do matters and impacts lives, even in children. Take your job here as a teacher, as a student. Seriously, we'll talk more about that here. Just a minute. So, number one, the importance of who you are. And then number two, the importance of wise living. Here in verse 3, do not give your strength to women, your ways to those who destroy kings. Women destroy good fitna.
Wow.
Forget about beating a girl. You're beating me up. No. Lemuel is told, don't go chasing after women. And the issue here is not just a matter of lust, although certainly that application can be drawn out. It's more about your attitude. It's more about your character that's at mind here. The job of a king, the job of a leader is simply serve and protect. The man who spends his time chasing after every woman he sees is not looking at these women as, I need to serve these people. They're looking at this as a conquest, something to conquer. In other words, I'm not even human. their life doesn't matter to you. You're not thinking about the needs of others that you can fulfill and you can help and you can serve. You're thinking only about yourself and your desires and your selfish ambition and intentions. You're using them, and that's wicked, and that's horrible. It's the exact opposite of what a leader, a godly leader, ought to be. Instead, the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy to be an example. To be a servant. To be one who cares. Does your life reflect that? So to make application, President-elect Trump, you've had some issues in this area. You have a track record. We have recordings that show you've got some sin to deal with. You've got some sin to repent of. Get this right. Your presidency is at stake here. You can destroy whatever it is you've built up by not living wisely and not living with the right intent to serve and to protect the people that God has placed you over. If you view them more as something to be confident, something that's going to destroy you and in turn this country. It's serious. The matter of sexual purity is a serious issue. So we turn to Rock County Christian School. The issue is here. Guys, how do you view the girls at this school? Now, maybe you're not to the extreme that President Trump has shown, and I hope not. But do you just look at the girls in your class and think, okay, which one can I date and which one can I not? Which one's attractive and which one is meaningless? Okay, if this one turns me down, I'm going to the next one. Well, that's a horrible, wretched, wicked attitude. But I've seen it here. That's not the attitude of someone who wants to please God. That's not the attitude of someone who should be in leadership. That's not the attitude anyone should have. If you're only looking to fulfill your own desires, you've got some repentance to do. If the girls in your class are only good for the looks that they have, they're just a collection of body parts, you've got some repentance to do. Girls, beware of flattery. At first, it's, you know, the compliments are nice. I mean, everyone wants a compliment. I mean, you can compliment me on my good looks. But if that's all that's there, that's a sign of a problem. It becomes a bad thing, not a good thing. Be careful who you associate. Be careful who you date. Be careful of what people are saying to you. Sometimes it's important to judge someone's motives. What's horrible, when my wife and I, we entered the whole foster care situation, we were made aware of a world that we didn't really know existed. Straight outside our door. But you have men who are seeking women only for their selfish means, and when they're done with them, they walk out the door, leaving the woman and now her child behind. He got what he wanted, and now he's out. And so you have this child who's been abandoned by their father, as a mother with no idea how to take care of them. And they grow up without the love and support they need. And so what happens? Oftentimes they ignore themselves, searching for anyone that cares or shows any sort of concern for them. and they'd fall into the same trap their parent, their mother had fallen into before. And it's just a horrible sight. Be smart. So, point number two, the importance of wise living. It really is important. This stuff matters. It's not just us trying to keep you away from fun or people. It matters. It can wreck your life. Number three, the importance of your intellect. In the following verses here, we start talking about alcohol. And Lemuel's mother says, don't do it. Don't drink. Don't give that to the poor. Let them forget about their misery. It's not for you. Now, let's be clear. That's not a command. I'm poor. I must drink. Now, we study this a little more. We're talking about people who are actually dying, if I'm interpreting the passage correctly. This is more like a sedative, here, let's just make you comfortable as you depart this world. But the emphasis clearly isn't on go ahead and drink if you're poor. The emphasis is on, Lemuel, don't you do it. Why? I don't want you to get drunk and forget about what you decreed. I don't want you to forget your job. In other words, the issue is your intellect. The issue is your mental state of mind. The issue is you need to be sharp. Because your job is so important. You have to be at your A game. You have to be at the top level. The decisions you make are so important, you can't afford to have your senses dulled by anything, whether it's alcohol or whatever else. Don't do it. Instead, cultivate the gift that God's given you. These people need you. These people need your mind to be making right decisions based upon right information and right knowledge. You need to have what this whole book is about, wisdom. Don't dull your senses. Instead, cultivate that gift. Improve upon. So, to apply that here, President Trump, you need to be at your best game. It is interesting that the president-elect is not a drinker. Doesn't drink at all. He's fearful of what the effects may be after what happened to his brother. His brother died of drunkenness. But President Trump, you need to be at your best game. Literally the fate of our country rests in your hand. The decisions he makes every day affect real people in real places. So Rock County Christian School. The same applies to you. Not simply to agree with Donald Trump. You know, if Matt forgets his homework, the country isn't, over tomorrow. Not that we would ever do that. I'm just glad you're awake, man. Yeah, go ahead, clap to me. You've all been given ability. You've been given a brain. You've been given a mind. Use it. Some of you are smarter than others. That's not what we're talking about. You all have the ability to use the gift that God's given you. Ignorance is not an option for the Christian. God wants you to take what he's given you and to use it and put it into practice. To be willfully ignorant, to borrow a phrase from 1 Peter, is not a good thing. To purposely say, I know there's stuff to learn out there. Whatever. I'm going to go play Halo. Is that still a game?
Yeah. Okay.
I'm just going to sit here and, watch Netflix until 3 a.m. and talk to Donald Trump on Twitter. Don't waste the gift that God has given you. You have a great opportunity right here at Rock County Christian School to get a really good education. But your teachers can only do so much. We can only push you so far. We can make you do your homework. We can even make you do it on time. We can make you read books and stuff. But learning starts with your decision. We can push you so far, but you've got to make a choice that I'm in this. And I want to learn as much as I can learn and use that knowledge to make right decisions and wise choices.
All right, finally, number four, the importance of your position. Verses 8 and 9, let me read this.
Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all who are destitute. Open your mouth, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and needy. Finally, to get to the point of what it means to be a king and what it means to have this authority, you are to help others. You are to speak out for those who can't speak for themselves. You are to be a champion of the rights of the people who need it most. That's your job. That's why you shouldn't be chasing after women. That's why you shouldn't be getting drunk every day. Because your job matters to real people. So President Trump, don't forget about the poor. Don't ignore the needs of the people. Be a voice for us. Don't just push your agenda. Listen to what the people actually need. Rock County Christian School. Be a voice to those who don't have it. Up here, I think I mentioned something about President Trump needs to fulfill the commitment he's made to the unborn. Well, we need to do that as well. You need to be a champion, a friend to the person who needs you the most. There are people in this room right now who need you. They need your encouragement. They don't need another bad day. They could use you as a friend. That doesn't mean you need to be lovey-dovey on everybody and give sappy little smiles and trifle expressions. How about just talking to somebody else? How about just asking how they're doing? You don't need to be a cheerleader. Just be someone who cares. Joke with them. Show them that, hey, listen, I acknowledge your existence. Even that little thing goes a long way. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we pray for our present world. You've commanded us to do that. I hope in our small groups we'll take some time to do that. We pray that you would allow the president to make the decisions he needs, to give him the wisdom he needs. We pray that you would turn his heart to you. Lord, help us as your church, your people, to show love and compassion to those around us, to fulfill our responsibilities. It's in your name we pray.
Well, that was my message for now President Trump, and I know it was a little longer than we normally do in one podcast, but I thought it was worth it, and especially this being the very day of his inauguration. Of course, if you're listening to this the day I uploaded it. Well, thanks for listening. Join us back next week. Until then, make sure you rate us on iTunes. Go ahead and tweet this out, put it on Facebook, pin it on Pinterest, do whatever you need to do to get the word out about the Gospel Points podcast. Thank you very much, and have a great rest of your week.